Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 23rd of the 5th month, 2025. It is a Friday evening and the time is 21:04. Ladies and gentlemen, today is Friday, I never thought in my life, that I would have a Friday where I don't want to go to work. Today was the first Friday in my life that I didn't want to go to work. Today is the first day that I didn't want to go to work. I did not want to go to work. But in my defense, right? It's not because my job is not nanti. It's not because my job is not happening. It's not because my job is, you know, kabu or anything. It's because there by my family. So, my small auntie. My small auntie came from the north and she came to come and chill with her sister, who is my mother. So they are chilling. Now this whole week, we've been running up and down for their things. So we've been spending many, many hours together. And from Tuesday or so. We've been spending a lot of time together because we've been chaperoning them. And the people are hella funny. This is where I see, I get my comedy. Also, my dark humor. Can't you say by my relatives? Those two women are hella funny. And the teasing that happens there. It is nice, man. So we've been spending a lot of time together. And then, small auntie decided that she wants to see everybody. So she wants to see her children. She wants to see us, her other children. She wants to see her other children. She wants to see everyone. So she told everybody. She sent out like a broadcast message. Guys. She sent out a broadcast message to the relatives that, hey guys, I'm in Windhoek and I'm here by my sister's place. So if you're looking for me, I'm here. Also, we are cooking on Friday. So I was like, yeah, okay. So the people are going to cook on Friday and it's going to be great and whatever. You know, you only know that you miss your family members when when you are in one vicinity and you remember how much fun they were, or you remember how nice it was when we were all in one space, you know, because everybody is big now. People are married, you know, they are kids now. People are married. People are working. People have moved out. Everybody has their own lives. People are out there in the world. They have kids and we are so big now. So the last time we really had a moment like this was back then when we were a little bit younger, you know, because we all go to the same house because we all live in the same house and it's just so nice. You understand? It's nice. And I forgot how many we are, right? And how funny is the funny for me? Oh, so me, the responsible parent, I came from my house, you know, me, the husband and the children came from the house and we took their stuff and then we went to drop them all off. Even the small ones, cuckoo. Everybody is gone to the weekend at cuckoo's house. So we dropped them off and I'm telling you, my husband had to drag me out of there, which I have to go to work, ma'am. My God. And then, it's so nice. So for the first time in my life, I was like, I don't want to go to work. I don't want. It's not because I'm not feeling well. It's not because there's an emergency. It's literally just, I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to work today. I don't want to go to Eagle FM today. I don't want to go and talk on the radio today. I want to talk here at home and crack my jokes and laugh until my stomach is paining. Oh, Everybody's so big. Everybody's so beautiful. Everybody is so in tune and in alignment with their lives. And oh, it's so nice. It's so nice to see serious, serious. Oh, and the kids are playing. And oh, that's like, I get why people go and form their own families. So that they become part of the stories, because when you see eating and like Habibi was so out of place, because we go to my mom's a lot, right? So he's used to the house. We are used to it's home, you understand, but he's never seen the house so full in his life. He's never seen so many women in one place. Like the man, there's one of my cousins that is there. And he's just chilling for a little while, you know, but he's like, Habibi has never seen the house full like that. So he has no idea where to sit. He has no idea what to talk about. He has no idea what to say. So he's just basically sitting in this little spot that he created, like on the veranda, where he sits, and then he reads his things, because he likes to read news and stuff like that. So he's reading his things, and he's just basically having a good time by himself. He doesn't drink, so he's drinking cool drink, and then that's him. I'm telling you, in this whole time that I was there, I didn't even think that I have to go and check if he's fine. I didn't even check once if he's fine or not. I'm just deep in the conversations. And also, one of my sisters is expecting, and she looks so beautiful. She's so glowing, and oh, he's so nice, man. And I'm like, I don't wanna go to work. And then my husband was like, you'll be fired personally. Like, personally, kucha, when they wash him at the good thing, I think I don't want him. She wanted to make Tano Hawe. Packet on Jato, thank you. It will not even be a letter. It will be Kazan. Wachala, Watokola, kucha, Tashiabunana, Yakuko, oh no. And that's the conversation I didn't want. But even in the car, I was like, Oh my goodness. Oh, the harmoningo man. So the question for tonight is, have you ever felt like that? The number in studio is 083-288-401. Have you ever felt like you don't want to go to work? Have you ever felt like, I just want to stay here? And it's not, I'm not talking about you people that are banking work, because you guys are drinking, you guys are chilling, you guys are making reckless decisions just to be, with your family and having like a nice day where you're just really enjoying the company of your people. Like, have you ever felt like that? And what was that experience like? And how did you manage it? Because three of my cousins, right, are going to work tomorrow. Imagine, they are going to work tomorrow, and everybody's like, oh, it is a long weekend, and I think it's important for us as family to have moments like that, where we just catch up, reconnect, and really have family moments. I think that some of us only see our family members in funerals. And now the problem is, at funerals, you people are laughing so hard. You people are laughing so much. You guys, there's just too much fun activity there. It doesn't even seem like a funeral. And some people can even say, because you guys are catching up on all the lost time and all the lost good times, and you guys are remembering and. Oh, it's one of those. So that's why I decided that today I'm going to talk about boosting your motivation. Today I'm going to talk about how it is to what you need to do to motivate yourself to go to work. Because it's not only in happy moments where you don't want to go to work. Sometimes you don't want to go to work because you're depressed. Sometimes you don't want to go to work because of whatever situation. And I'm here to tell you that, darling, if you're going to work tomorrow and you are now at home listening to me on the podcast, or not on the podcast, but on our app, because you are like, oh, I don't even want to go and switch on the radio. I just want to listen to it on my app because I'm like, I'm so sad that I have to stop the fun things that I'm doing because I'm an adult and I have to go to work and I have responsibilities. And this fun time is not going to, maintain me and maintain my life and my lifestyle that I created. So I have to go to work. If you are in bed right now and you are listening, or even just on your way home, the way home, leaving the party. And the thing is that I'm not even leaving a party. There's no alcohol, there's no nothing. It's just good times. It's just family members that are just sitting there. Now I'm joking with my aunt and I'm telling her that the person that brings people together, Unguzi, because the way she just decided to bring people together, it is so nice. And I am so happy that she decided to do that. And I'm so glad that she decided to do that, because even me, I'm very happy to see everybody. I'm very, very happy to see everybody. And I'm so like, wow, Pakoko man. Like, in all honesty, we are so grown. We have our own lives, our own places, our own little families. And, you know, one of my sisters was like, she said, congratulations and good job, you know, on your son here that you are having. He's a very good child. And I was like, oh, thank you. She's like, I see what you're doing here with him. Like, good job. I'm like, oh, wow. Thanks. Thanks. You know, sometimes you didn't even know that you needed that kind of compliment, and then you get it, and you get it also from somebody that matters. So you're like, yeah, but you still don't want to go to work. So I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about us today, because, so, we're talking about how to motivate yourself to go to work. How do you motivate yourself to work? Focus on finding meaning in your tasks. Setting realistic goals and creating a positive work environment. Good evening.
I'm not interested in your excitement.
Okay.
You are busy, I'm telling you. I'm not your excitement.
You know, you're the second person to tell me that today. It's you and my mother. Kiss Kepungwe.
One day my mom just went to I got another
The
way the turkey jumped.
Why would I beat her? She's my mother. Yeah, but.
It seems like they are not interested in anybody else in the house.
It's like they only like themselves also. They like each other only.
I think they are tired of what they brought up.
Yeah, because in the name, I can't get Jenny. In the name.
Imagine.
Oh, you know, today, my aunt, my mother's sister, she came from the north because now she resides in the north full time. So she came to Windhoek to come and visit her sister because my mom recently went into retirement, right? So they so she's not doing anything. So they're just at home. And my mom's sister decided to come, Kuku Kherivi, she decided to come and she decided that, you know what, on this Friday, I'm going to tell everybody, hello.
No, I wanted to tell them.
So she decided that she's going to tell everybody that they must come over for the weekend and we must just have a good time and we must eat and we must what. So pay for me. Oh, pay. Oh, she must know that she wanna that it don't matter. She must shut down.
Oh, family get together.
She might have in this shit because we usually just do it at weddings and funerals, us now in our family.
Oh, I'm on her. There is that thing. As long as there's no. I'm on in as much as you become professional. Open a hostility, you have a cousin,
Yes.
And the friends who are not. You know, you go to the dam.
Yeah.
You just have a social gathering, man. Some of them, you know, I remember at some point on Laule, and Tego Zembela and me and Uncle Vincent. So we were together at some point, and when I look at that, we were genuine, man.
Yeah.
People that I don't even know that are more prominent now. Mara, the party that we went to, it was not about, it was more or less about Liverpool and Manchester.
It was just.
Can I get you? Tell me my answer.
Tell me my answer, Kano. Oh, as a belief,
I don't even mind who's eating because I to her, they are for equally.
So now we are having the same thing at home, and all my cousins are there, and all the kids are there, and it is so nice, ne? That it's not in the history of my life. I'm a person that likes to go to work. Today I didn't want to go to work. Tendo ando a man. Oshimo pay for kembo pay for tashimingwa. Ndiweta andi pitiri wapo. Ando eri uchanga. Ota meeting wala manga kontungwa yo makunde. Kana kame mene bakiro matumburwe.
Ganga, and that's what I'm going to say.
How to motivate yourself to go to work,
I'll just tell you briefly.
Yeah.
The problem with my clients.
You
either give me money earlier,
I'm
supposed to do something for you, and then you're lacking details. And then it takes you 2 weeks, and then you give me those details later. Or you consult me, I give you somebody who can assist you, and then you don't trust that person. Okay. Bookkeeping,
yeah.
Registration and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But not long ago, before that thing.
Yeah.
Number of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because social security,
mm-hmm.
Can we do this?
Yeah.
Oh. On Dota Sanganya.
Oh.
If part of you be part of people,
mm-hmm.
That's when they want to.
To move.
Hey, what was that? I have been doing it for a long time. Okay. You go to me, all the important details.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is, you want the physical ID.
Yeah.
ID, no ID.
In a man? Anote man angini ngwe mi nyenga. Yeah, it's a lot of admin.
Yeah. I think I'm becoming a bit too grown.
Mm-hmm. And tired.
The pinnacle of life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how the financial interest in that business,
yeah,
has also become less significant. Yeah, so
too much time is spent and not a lot of money is made.
So one needs to grow out of certain industries and say no. And I'm going back to my political career. It's not about money, but it's about other issues.
Yes. Like making Namibia great.
I miss being in the boardroom.
Oh, yeah.
Being relevant. That's not John Drake.
Yeah. Whatever that is, yeah. Yeah. Me, I'm your hype man. Eh, no.
Eh.
Because it comes in small chunks. It comes in small chunks. You are always eating. So okay, so my business I'm working towards opening a second location in what Ndishi. So now I had to work on my finances in terms of like getting to a place where the bank can give me the financing that I need, Ndishi. Yes. So that means my income must generate a person that is really working. So now, I've been working on this ever since last year. So now the numbers are looking fine, man. Marane, the bank account is not having money, man. How is this my income per month? Marape feka kunasha.
So,
andika kantumbane na accountant akucha, urukira njitare kuchimari wa ipeni ya ije. Hawe purikira ndikulombwere ne.
No, o sea, va, si hay que buscar ahí, vamos a esperar mi comisión. Credit the value, according to that in the
The problem is that it comes in small portions. And small portions of Shima Weshi Dina Nare. It's just like my business. Eh, what to 250 aha kuchitorando kudranga. Tiran kudranga. Gandiranda wa how I can on Anga and the Jara Pombiri Tongo, 15. Oh, she can. The kind of weather there, Pumwe. Kanga cash. He could jala 40,000 in food. That he, yeah. Kanga cash. No.
Oh, man,
I yeah.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing? I'm telling you, right? When you make money in small portions, right? And you see that you are getting fat, that means you're eating up the company's money. You're eating up the company's money because the company's money doesn't come in thousands more. It comes in small portions. Now, in those small portions, I advise people that are having businesses, ne? I know you guys always go to the accountant to do your books at the end of the year, at the end of the month, or whenever you do that, when Namra is asking for their what's, right? But you need to go and look at your finances. You need to go and look at where you are spending money. Me, I went to go and sit down because, the numbers that are there are not the numbers that are inside the bank account. Because I was very worried. I was like, how can you tell me that I'm making this amount per month? Mara, me even to come to the bank today, I had to walk. Eh? And you're telling me that this is the money I'm making. You are lying, man. And then I had to go back. You must always go back to the accountant. So the accountant finds where you are spending money.
Good evening. Good evening. Yes, that's a king.
How are we, man?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm going to say vengeance, man. Shadi put out the pop. Oh, we have the head in that Tunganti, my wife, you go party. Oh.
You are making me laugh.
Oh, my dear. In the morning, go to. I'm just on the verge of breaking out into song. Chocolate.
Now you are saying if you are in your way home, now I'm like, man, I'm not. If you are cooking like that, I'm not going home.
It's the same. Kuchashimo, that's happening.
But you know what? Yeah, I will make a camp somewhere here.
Teka na uka ko na ni Kembong kwe. Gato po piga ka. O si Moshua na Shiriban. You people came to save me today, Shashi. Whoa. Eh? Oh, Auntie Moguli morning, man.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a party there. It's not a party. It's like a get-together of all my cousins. Now, I haven't seen my cousins, ne? In maybe 4 years, 5 years, 6 years even. Hey. Oh, oh, story, ne? Oh.
You know the best thing?
Mm.
It's always to get sick.
You can it you can't get sick here at work.
No. You say, I'm not feeling well.
Aye. Here you go. Like, I have guilt, man. When you know guilt, and I like, Oshiri, 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 Mashono, ne? Otashiri, nje, puara, ne?
Until
Tandi, then, Garongo, thing, I'm when I kucha, good evening, Tete France. I didn't go to work today. Oh. Tandilo, pota, and I'm when I straight. When you know guilt, man.
can I be excused?
Aye.
And you know what?
Hmm.
Lauren, behold, you are posting pictures.
Oh! Shashito, ito puro noko ko avoidinga. Esanoro ero matumburu anuho.
This is a person who is sick.
No makunde.
Oh, kesana we calling yang.
Oh.
We posta ngeti.
Eh. Oh, hey. Aye, guys. Like, oh.
Taking pictures with hands in the air.
Ani no chote hamo kwa ako. O kwa kwa kontu teha mangono. Wali kuchi, oma sanongo noho last week. Anto tati, toto azumi nga ina, o shifo shono, shiripo itafuro shonena. Oh, otea mukuroma puroma nga, andi tiro kwa mukuroma puro, because I'm a very bad liar. O handi pushwale.
For me, man. Me, I don't lie. I hate lying.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather tell the truth, you know. And if you ask me a question,
mm-hmm.
I keep quiet. That means I don't want to tell you.
I don't want to tell you. But it's difficult. But this is must work. Work is must not like... Work... Work is not like missing a party.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Me, I don't lie. So, you tell the truth and you can do. There are things that we cannot do.
Oh, no, Totina, good evening, guys. I'm having a family reunion today. And a family reunion, I'm here.
Yeah, you know one thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that we can carry out.
We can make it important.
Sometimes, man. This language is like
this one we chose here. We chose to be speaking this one. We choose
this thing, man. Eh? Days go by without saying second word.
Mm.
And now when you want to say it, it's like going to go on again.
Mm. Yeah, because you don't use the word every day. Ojene to rombere en chara changa o messi kujoene andorane unona nengon kurkazi ojene ani rongane. Machagamu yagarongisa, guys.
In business, we are speaking words that are close to money.
Close. Like, there must be, we save money, finances, lucrative. In machanga.
Words like deposit.
Account number.
Withdraw.
Account number. So people don't get him.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
There in a human mind,
mm-hmm.
there are times when you just don't want to do something.
Oh.
you don't want to go, but you have to go.
This must being an adult. I feel like being an adult, that's your every day.
There was a time I lost, you know those days, man, we knew computer, not laptop. And we used to save up, man. You save for a phone, then you save for a SIM card that is 200, what's, 180.
190.
You remember those games?
Yeah, it was 190.
The SIM card was, there was one for 150, and then 180, 250, I think. Yeah. Hey, you really have to save. First you save for one thing, then you save for...
For the next two. One.
Yeah. I saved up for a computer. I sit there at, you know that bus stop, now they call it Sianga bus stop. But Sianga found that bus stop there, man.
Yeah.
I lost my 2000 there. I was going to deposit that computer.
Oh my God.
It was the following day, I didn't want to wake up, man. I even lost my 2000.
Oh.
You know how long it took
to get out of bed?
To save that money.
Hey.
I'm thinking, I saved up that money for long.
I lost it in 5 minutes.
Few minutes to me waiting for a catch today. I'm not going to church. Now I have to wake up. The following day, I have to wake up and go to church.
After all this disappointment.
Now, why did I lose the money? Why is my... Why did my money get lost the day before Sunday?
No, my dear.
I'm not going to check.
Aha, when computer and the conin. Oh.
And while I'm
there... I can't tell you what I'm
while I'm there...
Yeah?
I told... Just something came in my mind. I said, hey, man. Get up and go, man. This is part of life. I'm not the first one, and this is not the first thing I'm losing in life. I have lost other things. only that now, the value of this one
is more
than the other things that I have ever lost.
And also, you worked very hard for this one.
Oh. I get up. I went to church. I didn't tell anyone. I was just there, people think I'm just...
I'm not feeling well.
I was feeling it.
Oh, Ngishinga, I'm feeling
it. In my mind, I still couldn't believe it. It's so funny. Like, I came back
to the same place, man.
Same place to check.
To go check.
There's no way you can find it. Where to the bus stop.
Pamoya, where Pokemon be named?
Maybe. So, and I remember there was a time when I was working at Mexico. You know this time of winter, man. I used to wake up around 3 a.m. 3 a.m., I woke up. 4:30, the bus would pick me up there. At Chomise. 5:30, I'm already at Mexico. Guas and the other people are working all that time. Not me.
So you decided to put him no man,
guys. I was like, no, I'm not waking you up. Because now, check, I have coming home. Sometimes I have to make my own way because I was I used to be the first one and the last one again to leave. Oh, No. Sometimes you find the bus is gone. Then I was like, so I guess I spend time on internet at least just to do, to invest in myself and, yeah, to be aware of certain things. I have to go through my phone and search for information, read something.
And you know, to keep your mind active.
Yeah, I'll do that until one. I only have 1 to 2. 2 to 3, I have to wake up again at 3. So I only had 2 hours. I said, today I'll get a bonus. I slept until the bus came there. I was not there. It went, So, 8 o'clock, I went to the clinic.
To get your doctor's letter.
I went there. Now, when I was there, when it was my turn to go in.
In Tokyo, illness.
And tell my story, I was like, hey, you know what, man? I'm not really sick.
Mm.
It's like I missed work.
Mm.
I said, oh, so you want your, what? What is it?
A sick leave.
A sick leave.
Mm.
I said, yeah, bro. He did it, man.
He did it.
Yeah.
The
next day, I went to work. I took vaccine. Yeah. I was not feeling well.
Mm.
And this is, what is the secret? Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well done.
Mm.
Procedure.
Criminal Aoki Longayo.
You followed them.
The correct procedures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are sick and they never went to, they don't want to go to the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are feeling well, they go to work. When they ask, where is the sick leave? Nothing.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the problem. That, I was not sick, man.
My dear.
Just because that day I decided I'm not waking up.
I don't want to wake up. I don't go to work.
Yeah, but, in reality, sometimes there are things I always think in arguments. I look at people calling. You find a girl who's in a relationship with this guy who doesn't even put on hour. So now this girl will be using the company's
Companies.
To call this guy.
Good evening. To call, oh, the company phone.
Yeah.
To call the guy.
To call the guy. Mm-hmm. The guy doesn't recharge, you know. Oof, to say, call me.
Call me. No, the guy recharges, man, but he just talks to the person that he wants to talk to. And the person is not you. How? No, there's nobody's phone that doesn't get recharged. Even the poorest person gets recharged. It's recharged, just not you that they want to use their minutes on.
No, they don't put on that super hour.
You know, Nehemiah, we have 33,000 minutes.
Yeah, but the guy is honest. The guy is not calling other girls. He's only focused on this one. And you know, this one now is using
The work phone
to call the guy. Yeah, even the girls sometimes they don't even put on hours because, hey, I have
the work phone.
Yeah, I'll call you when I'm at work. Or no, I'll check my speakers when I'm at work.
Yeah, Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but by doing that. You are robbing the company.
Yes.
Robbing the company. You are using the company's phone to call and do your private thing.
Calls, yeah.
But when a client comes there, so you are on the call. Sometimes that client can even go dead.
You know what the worst part is about using company phones, right? It's the fact that you are on the phone with your loved one the whole time. and yeah. people can't get through. The ones that are actually paying your salary, they can't get through to through the phone because the phone is always engaged with you and your lover.
Busy with useless.
Useless things. So what did you eat tonight, babe? Nangan tiki long happen. Ko Eagle FM. Oh, oliko ladzio tampo pishkenen. If you wanted to talk to me, you must just recharge and call me on my own phone. How? What is this?
So, through your calls.
Yeah.
Throughout the month.
Mm-hmm.
You have used up the company's minutes.
Oh.
How much is that? You don't even know.
You don't. Mm-hmm.
And again, the company has lost potential.
Yes, potential clients. Yes.
Clients. How much is that? Mm. You don't even know.
Yes.
But you want your salary.
Your salary to come in to untouched.
On time.
Untouched.
Yeah. Even on the 29th. Mm-hmm. You are already looking at the boss like, hey, my salary.
Oh, it's my girl's.
Not yet end of the month, man.
My girls don't get paid, month end and shim. So, I always have to just, do banking on the day that they get paid. Now, sometimes, I'm at work and I'm busy with other things. Them, the whole time, they're just looking at what time does the bank close. Mama, you're not going. I'm like, going where? And what, today is the 4th? I'm like, okay, bye. We already ordered for you a younger ma'am.
Very important.
My dear, the car is waiting for you outside. You just grab your bag.
This guy at the farm.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling me on the 28th. Hey, my money.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I first have to get my money.
Then I can give you from my money.
Then out of that money, I will give you. I cannot pay you from my savings.
Hey, my dear. I worked for my money and I wait for my money, and when my money comes, I pay you from my money. Don't think that there's magical money that's coming out of somewhere else.
You know, when it comes to working, we shouldn't just work looking at what we are going to get.
Yes.
So that mindset is not the right one. You know, sometimes when I want to work hard, I make
myself. Okay, Tata King, how do you work hard at a place that makes coffins?
Coffins? No. You must be clear. Check. You know what?
Hey, Anland, how can you as an employee work hard at a place like that?
You know what, man? I've been thinking about
coffins,
producing coffins
You should actually, because the whole of Namibia, they only have a South African supplier, I think. Because I've been asking around this week, because we've been dealing with coffins.
I had a friend, not your friend, but there was a house I went to check, a house I wanted to renovate in Otomise. And when I went there, the first plank, or can I say, I saw, I was shocked. I said, hey, what is this? Can you see this? I was with one guy. Look at this. It's like a coffin. Then we went. We proceed. We went. So the house was kind of like under construction, but they finished, but they didn't finish everything. And now this guy was using the house.
Which guy?
There was a guy who was making coffee and bread. I checked which one, you know that top, you know the top cover one. I'm like, hey. This one looks like a coffee. Then we went. Then we found another pack in the corridor. I was like,
guys, no.
I said to myself, now I'm not going to tell my friend that I went with. I said, in my heart, I said, Kashiana Shiwan. Now I don't know whether we are really going to be shown the house that needs to be
renovated, or we are going to die. Or it's today.
This is a different department. Then we went in one room. Hey, man. We are all sure. Coffins, man. I finished coffins.
I found that way the lingoscope.
You know what?
I think up with him, and then to how good. No, this is a carpenter. He was making some cupboards, and this is just, you know, unfinished cupboards. Can this unfinished coffins?
Exact time, eh? I lost all my fears of coffins.
And it happens.
I said to the guy, wow.
Hey, this one is beautiful.
I said, wow. Do you make coffins? The guy said, yeah. They always get things. They always on demand. And I begin to ask the guy.
Real business questions.
I begin to ask.
So how much is a coffin?
But no, you really get customers. They get finished. And people are always ordering.
What about the poppy cookie? Do you really bake cakes?
How do you make them look smooth like this? Say, hey, I have this machine here. This is a machine.
The shining on business, eh? Oh. Business opportunity, eh?
I was like, wow, okay. Now, how do you deal with the rents now? How do you check that there are some tall people in you? Like you
do you measure tall? Going on them?
The guy said, no, I get king myself. I said, what? I said, yeah. Some of the coffin.
There must be space.
I get in myself. Then I take, okay, this one. There are people that are taller than me. So this one, I'll make it a little bit tall. Or this one, here, I'll expand it here because there are people that are shorter than me. I said, hey.
So, okay. He doesn't go by measurements, my dear. This guy just goes by,
And ever that day, ever that day, this guy brought a problem in my mind.
You've been thinking about it, ne? The way I'm thinking about it these days also, Tate King, My uncle passed away in 2020, Dishim. It was the time of COVID, man. He was like case number two of COVID, ne? And it was devastating. We've never had to bury somebody in 72 hours, you know? I'm telling you. So we went to this other funeral parlor. I never thought that I would be picking out coffins, but there I was, my dear, picking out coffins. And I remember going into the funeral parlor, and when I saw the coffins there, I broke down and I cried, man. And I was so scared and I was so distraught and all of this, right? Because it's like, whoa, a coffin. So now, now we are putting on a tombstone finally, right? And because they also told us, no regulations, you must wait for what. Then after that, there was no money, what. But now the money is there. Now we're putting on a tombstone. I'm telling you, Tata King, ne? I walked into that place like I owned the place. I was very, very shocked. And the broke best friend that would Belo Shimonale.
Like Queen Elizabeth of England.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at tombstones outside ne Kandinam Panduvite. That is when I realized which I'm better. Death, Death, things only affect us when we are linked to it. Apart from that, Ashirine, like nothing can affect us, a man. Mokupozo Shirine, hey guys. Just hold the line for me.
Tired of being stuck in queues or left on hold? Our online sign-up lets you get the connection you need in just a few minutes. Simply head to paratus.africa/Namibia and press the online sign-up button. Then choose from our exciting ranges of fiber, Sky-Fi or mobile LTE products. Fill in the application form and you're already done. Of course, you'll also enjoy free installation on your new package. Sign up online today to enjoy effortless connectivity.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings with Tata King and Elizabeth. Hey, so now we are dealing with the tombstone, Andy, but now there are coffins. It's like a warehouse thing, ne? That is demarcated into offices, and now the coffins are on display. I'm telling you, I took a picture of the coffins, and then I sent it on my work group, and then I asked, which ones do you want? Which one do you want? Which one is for you here? I'm telling you. And then we open. And then that day we were a bit shy, Moss, because you know we just looked at no mehoman. And then now we had to come back, and then we also had to go and get like a refund from another funeral parlor that we had been depositing on. So we had to get a refund on that other one. So now when we went to the other one, we went to their coffin room. Oh. Man. Like we're talking about shoes. And then the lady is even like, she knows we are not there for death things. She knows, like, I'm telling you, ne? She even said, like, yeah, if you open it, then the candles on the side, they go on. And then if you close it, the candles go off. Then we opened it, and then we closed it. And then, Pefe, best friend, ne? He went to feel inside the coffin. But inside the coffin, nakamu no katara shekeli kohi. And I'm telling him, because you are most not alive when you're inside there, you don't need to be comfortable. I'm telling you, Beroshimashem bothering her. At night when we were sleeping, and me, when I die, you must tell the people to put in my mattress in my coffin. And now he was takongkorapo, like it's a hard thing. But I realized, Kucha, Mbori, everything just has a business. Everything just has a business. And I think it really honestly just is about, it's about how much, it's about how happy you are financially.
Yeah.
And why you are doing it. Because I even asked the undertaker, like, do you ever cry? Because you are dealing with people that are crying every day. Right? So do you ever cry? Then they said that, he said that, and I'm going to have an interview with him one of these days. Right? He agreed to come in. And he said that there are certain people that we don't cry anymore. Like people that have been sick, people that have been suffering in terms of like in physical pain, and people that would have been like, it's okay for them to pass away. They said that the ones that touch their hearts the most, ne, is people that have been murdered and people that have been violated till death. Those ones are, apparently they make them cry. And then also kids. Like, oh, you know, ne? Small coffins.
That one is like me.
Oh, small coffins. Small coffins that they king, ne? Hi. Oh. No. Do you know that I've been going to Pioneers Park Cemetery, ne? Ever since I know of it. But I never knew that they had a children's site in the cemetery. I saw it the other day, ne? And my heart just broke, man. I just don't feel like children must die.
Can I tell you one thing? Mm-hmm. Pioneers once went mad.
Mm.
In, Tangela, mortuary, whatever, that children's site.
Yeah.
But she felt so pity to see a lot of kids.
Dead.
Dead kids.
Mm.
So she went mad just because of that.
Yeah, because you it's difficult to comprehend that one, man. It's like cutting a whole entire life short.
Like for me, I don't know if I have become a fool. Some people say maybe I become heartless.
No, I think I have a theory on that one. I have a theory on what happens to people. But you can proceed with that one. Or must I give you my theory?
Your theory, you never finish it.
No. My theory is very short. My theory is that when you have many responsibilities.
I don't want to be like you and Karikonaka. Everybody wants to speak.
At the same time. Like, pim, pim, pim. Look, when you are at the top, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you have a lot of things that depend on you. A lot of things, meaning your family, your friends, your work, your employees, your what. You tend to lose empathy because you can't be sympathetic towards every single little thing that is bad in the world.
Yeah.
So when you are the boss, right? The boss makes you heartless to some degree because the things are so many. So I can't be focused on your little problems, eh? When I'm still keeping the company running.
You have seen enough.
Yeah.
You can't be a commander and you are very emotional.
You can't be the commander and then you're also the foot soldier. Ah, no. You must choose one.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, I don't want to say what I wanted to say anymore.
You said you are heartless.
Yeah, no.
Why are you heartless?
There are people that I don't moan. I don't cry.
Yeah.
When certain people pass away.
Look, yeah.
If I cannot, yes, this is my grandmother. It's my wife. But instead of me crying, I am appreciating what I learned.
Mm.
What this person did for me. They died at a point when I have taken something out of them.
It's true. When they have served their purpose in their lives and they left a person here.
It's like I'm celebrating their life. Like, you know, you have lived your life to a good level.
Yeah.
You know, to a point where you have impacted lives. And for me, it's painful, even when I drive around, to find a child bound by a car, it pains me.
Yeah.
Because this child did not live life. This child did not help people in life, you know?
Didn't amount to what they were supposed to amount to.
This is a shortcut.
Yeah.
And that one pains me. People who, if a person has been sick for years.
Yeah.
Somebody said, Togero Nakusa. So, it's a reality. So, if the person has been sick, our hearts are also being prepared.
Mm.
yeah, under construction, like, you know what? Prepare. One day this person will die. But if we look at you, we even saw you yesterday training. Because of the surgery, you know, this person was killed.
Yeah.
So this one is a shock and it's a painful one. And then you come to troublemakers. Every time
everybody's crying your name. Oh.
Yeah, every time the family is in trouble, it's you. Oh. Every time it's you. It's you. Sometimes such people.
Oh, yeah, when you're not sweep, your family must rest
such
also.
People
guys.
When they are normal.
Yeah.
People say, oh.
Hey, relief. Oh, that's what.
I can even sleep outside. Back in the days, man.
Now you don't know if you're crying because you are sad or you're crying because you are finally free.
You are free. You know, every single person who has been in jail for quite a long time.
Yeah.
When they are released, just to see their family, they are crying. They are crying because they are going in. They are crying because now they are free. And you know what? They can...
Can insult their mothers the way they want now. Now they don't have to write letters.
Yeah. But to go back to your question, so you're working hard.
Yeah.
Even if I'm making coffins, I can work hard if I prepare myself to work hard. It's a choice that I have to make. You know what?
To make more coffins or what?
Yes. Produce. Produce more.
If you sell coffins now, you're not a producer. You just work in a place where people sell coffins. Do you advertise?
That's where I'm now stuck.
Yeah.
I have an idea of producing.
Uh-huh.
And I have a problem of selling it.
Oh.
Somehow.
Then you must call me. No, yeah, I'm the guru in those things. You must call me. I will make the demand very high for your business.
Somehow.
Which are how?
Somehow in your heart, you might find yourself having something in your heart that wish people to die.
That's the complicated part about that kind of business.
That's the problem now.
I'm an total hingi now. Pefitasiwe mo how to.
One time I was in ICU,
yeah.
I was there for some days, and I see every time a new person is brought here.
Yeah.
And an unfamiliar thing comes and takes this person. They put in this person in an unfamiliar thing.
What was the unfamiliar thing, Okashako?
Where they put the dead people?
Where do they put them?
You know, in Ringo. In Ringo, they have something different.
Okay.
For the one they use in Oshakati. This one, you don't even know what is inside the ring.
Is Okashako ne? Ningo Kanjato or what?
You know that trolley, ne?
Yeah.
When you go in the hospital, they put you on a cadet, ne? You're not able
to move, walk.
Yeah. They put you on that cadet. Now, you know, Shakati, on top of that cadet, they add another thing, like, it's like a canopy, ne? So you don't even know what is there. You don't know.
Afuka flower.
So people were dying, man.
Afuka flower.
Yeah?
Afuka flower.
No,
Afuka back.
It's a white thing.
What for cab back? Can lunchbox.
Now I'm like, I don't understand. One day, these people, every time they are passing here, they are looking at me. Oh. And one day, they say, they want to go color for us. Now, they were just talking. So, I came to understand later that, you know what, You know, that time I realized, when you see this cat dead, that means this person is gone. No wonder. And so, I think I refuse to die.
I'm not going to die. Tan di mo kabaki kini mo.
So, later on, I came to understand that, you know what? They were paid on commission. Oh. Depending on how many people you pick up there. So that's how they were getting paid. So they wish more people to die so they can
get more commission.
Yeah. That's a problem of such work sometimes.
I won.
Yeah. But you know one thing, yeah. I don't know, but for me when I'm doing second work and I'm alone, if I want to work really hard, like mad, I make myself angry. I'm a person who I don't get angry fast.
Yeah.
But when I'm working, I begin to think and think and think. And once I'm angry on something, when I'm angry, I have more energy.
The adrenaline.
I can work. I don't even get tired. So, like that, that's how I do it. I say, you know what? I work hard.
I work angry.
Yeah, because now I'm strong, you know.
I work like, angry.
Now I have a full tank.
Oh, Karunga cash.
Yeah, so I don't know, but we are different. And you know what? If I choose to do something, if I'm willing, once I'm willing, I have energy to do what I'm willing to do. But if you are telling me to do something that I know, even if I do this, I know it will end up here. I have no energy for such things.
But maybe because, I think also I'll go into the coffin business, man.
Yeah, let's do it. And you know what?
Yeah.
We are going to do it different.
Yes.
We're going to have coffins.
With mattresses.
No. Specifically that this one is for homosexuals. This one for business people. You are laughing at business.
No. Is that on a rainbow one? And why another gay person has passed away?
Even if you come there,
which our gay coffins are all sold out.
Yeah. Even if I tell you,
God is going to strike after the kink.
If you come with me at a funeral of someone, you'll be able to see that. Here, a businessman has died. This one is a gay.
Because of his friends or what?
This guy, he took me to a funeral.
Businessman package.
But
I think it can work, huh? And this is a grandmother funeral, and this is what? Yeah, what else is there?
You my coffins, you will not need to open them.
You can just.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we can also have I'm angry with you package, where we just make the coffin look very nice outside, and then inside you might just lay in your box because people are angry with you.
Yeah, but you know what? Even a churchy. This one is for if you are a drug dealer, this is for you. This is for drug dealers. Killed by police. We killed put it by... So sometimes people have questions.
Yeah. And the people, like sometimes you can also put wheels on the coffin also, you know, car accident.
Just by looking at the coffin.
And then nobody actually has to carry the coffin into the church because you can just pull it because it's on wheels most. The coffin is on wheels.
Remote control,
like a car.
And we are not even going to use this thing, so when we are burying, wasting time. Remote. Let the coffin fly to the grave.
There are people from Afbob and Nambob are writing your ideas.
Fine.
They are writing your ideas. Let's get a Rainbow Nation coffin.
I'm coming. To the industry.
Let's go into the industry, guys.
I'm coming.
No, tombstone. Right, and also they must make tombstones a different color, man. Big pink tombstones and blue pink tombstones.
Green ones. When you go in the graveyard.
All of them are the same, like they all have one mother. It's true. White and brown that is different, but 90% they're all that black gray one.
You know why I don't want to be buried in a cemetery or a graveyard, man?
Because you want to stand out?
No, because I'm not like them. Mm-mm. Oh, some of them are...
By law, that's where you go. By law, if people bury you anywhere else, right, they have to go and register that place as a cemetery.
No. I would do it myself while I'm alive. Like, this is where I want to be buried. And you know, Baggy is going to be buried here. Except who and who.
Where? Eka and Nine?
Yeah, in my own place.
Ke Kwambo? Tolale wakon sita.
Sita for what? Yengo pa sita. You know what, man?
Mm-hmm.
All this nonsense that is happening there.
Yeah.
This was Roman Dutch laws.
Mm-mm.
And everybody that is coming up with a church is applying these things, man. That cannot, the Bible did not command anyone.
Ano miveva mukaranga osa?
No.
Uwamona mosa miveva?
Eh.
Ye na shike sana wanawara.
I've never seen weddings. They do, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The problem, some of these so-called Pentecostal churches, they are just money-making. They don't have faithful members. They have people coming from Rakana, Kachima Murilo, Treatment Shop, some are coming from Wewe, Oshikango, you know, and they are coming. And tomorrow they go, others are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. If that person died, obviously they are not going to conduct a burial service or whatever. Because this person is not a faithful member of here.
Mm-hmm.
They are always from, there are people who are playing church. They are always like birds, man. Today they are there, tomorrow they are there. They are just searching. Pastor so-and-so is what. And they are running into confusion. I don't want to go deeper.
I hear you.
Yeah. So that, I'm saying, some of the things that people are conducting red check is not the very calm. Nobody commanded them to go and do such things. Mm-hmm. And they are doing useless things. Whether you do that or not, you cannot change what is going to happen there. They tell people, check, if you tell me, man, after death, there is no repentance. Why are you coming and do these things? These things was introduced by Roman Dutch law. And now, after independence, you are still under colonialism. I went to a pharmacy the other day. These guys speaking Portuguese.
Mm.
He came in the pharmacy, speaking Portuguese. And now this guy is saying, oh, my Portuguese is not good. You know, one doctor said, hey, you were pronounced by an Englishman. And you were pronounced by a Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
But all of you are now free.
Yeah.
You are now free. Speak your language.
Speak your vernacular.
They started speaking Oshuango.
Both of them.
And the doctor said, you see, wonderful. That's what we need. Now you are colonizing yourself after you got independent.
So both of them are even just vambus?
Yeah, vambus. One was colonized by Portuguese.
And one was by English people. So now they're El no fala Portuguese. El no fala English.
Now the other
one is
aqui.
Aqui. But anyway,
all of them suddenly, they started communicating wonderfully. And you know what? The guy was saying, you see? Me, I can speak Portuguese. English, but I love my language.
Mm.
I cannot force myself to speak a foreign language and make it hard for the fellow black man to understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, and to communicate
when we can speak
with me.
Our language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because also there are similarities anyways.
We are now free.
Mm.
But we are colonizing ourselves. And that's what is happening. People are free from the Dutch, from the Roman Empire.
Mm.
But the Roman Empire though, rules and whatever, they still exist in our churches.
Yeah.
They are still taking money in church and send it to Rome, to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw what happened there the other day.
What
the
happened?
Smoke was, you saw the smoke.
Me, I didn't see the smoke. Me, I said wake.
That's a problem of few minutes of watching this, what? This Indian
thing. Me, I don't watch those things. I just go to work a lot.
Oh, you were busy with work.
Anyway.
There were things happening in Rome.
Oh, my dear.
People were there waiting for to get a new pope.
Who's the new pope, Anwani?
He renamed himself. He chose a new name to be called Leo.
He's Leo.
That's the name he chose.
What is his name from his parents?
There was a funny name. There was a long name. Now, this is confusion.
Call me Leo.
I was like, people are bowing down to this thing.
Mm.
Far away from us.
My dear, there are people that are traveling to go and to watch the inauguration of the Pope. Or what do you call it when the Pope is going on? Inauguration now,
huh? They call it election.
Now
you are talking about the final process.
The Pope, she's Pope,
but people are going to go. And we are going, our money, the money we give in church is going there.
Mm-hmm.
Going there while we have people here suffering of malnutrition.
Just because you are suffering from menstruation, my dear, doesn't mean that I must give my money to your menstruation problems. Just like somebody would rather give money to people, to kids that need shoes. Instead of kids that have cancer.
Now you hear, the priest, people were raped in what? There, in church.
Nuns are having abortions. Nuns are having abortions, and why are not watch?
Oh, the other time, remember the last pope.
Oh, holy, oh, story that the king. Hey.
The last pope to die.
Yeah.
I think there was a time he said the Catholic Church can now, bless homosexual marriage, something like that.
Mm.
You see? Now you don't know which one is which now.
You don't know.
It's all confusion.
So confused. The LGBTQ, they want to be inclusive of everybody, you know, human rights.
The problem people are not using their minds anymore. Human rights must not
jump on other people's rights.
Yeah, must not bring us at the point where we lose ourselves.
But do we even know who we are?
Of us we know.
Yeah. Then you can just stay in your knowing most. Shabotati, they are confusing children.
But if you are inviting something from far away, you are also damaging our environment and you are influencing the young ones.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Oh my days.
My goodness, 40 minutes.
40, 56.
Bye.
Bye,
Tate King.
Bye.
Ciao.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hi. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. Initially, today we're talking about motivation to go to work. If you don't want to go to work, how do you motivate yourself? Now, we're going to dive into this conversation just after the break, and we will be right back.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Oulio mnangeshefa na wahara kushivifa oma akuroe kupitira mohorike radio station na weyo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 081-7147-116. Mwamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
To know about Namibia's latest business and economic news, then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current...
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. You know, I was cracking myself up. You know, I was cracking up because I was thinking, I was thinking of Tate King's business idea, ne? And I'm like, if you are a criminal, on your coffin, okwafane kwa okapi, if you're a drug dealer, utatutuakwe drugs, all the colors, all the drug colors, all of them, kucha epangwe apa, apa, apopuna, shike, okokeina, popuna shike, like, and I'm thinking about like, yeah, because sometimes, ne, families also don't want to hide behind your things that you do through life. So that must be your identifier. I think it will also stop us from doing bad things. Tata King, I think it will also stop us from doing bad things because we know that our coffins in life are going to identify us. So now everybody that's going to come to our funeral is going to know exactly what kind of life we lived. So if, for example, you are like a murderer, then we are going to, I don't know now, we're going to, draw you killing someone on your coffin so that everybody knows, yeah, this person was, this is the type of person they were or whatever. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So today we're talking about motivation for work. And the reason that we're talking about this is because me, the matriarch, today I was not motivated to come to work because on the morning, man, I just want to turn around and go back morning and then just be there morning. But fortunately, my job is also very flexible, and somewhere somehow we find love and joy and laughter through this job, so it's not a drag. But for those that have dragging jobs and you are laying in bed and you're like, yo, it's almost 12 o'clock, yeah, maybe you're going to start the 12 o'clock shift and you're like, wow, it's almost 12 o'clock, So maybe we can work through a few things that you can look at in terms of what should motivate you for work. So we are going to the very definition of it. What is motivation for work? It is to boost your motivation for work. Or how do we do it? To boost your motivation for work is focus on finding meaning in your tasks, setting realistic goals, and creating a positive work environment. A positive work environment is a space in which you thrive. When you get to work, you are happy. When you think about going to work, you are happy. Like with me, what was motivating me is, oh, kirongo kuno econ, kirongo kuno o client adhanje, kirongo kuna o computer, kironga, there's not a lot of ruckus, there's not a lot of noise. So these things, like my environment, my work environment, to be honest, and I'm not even just tooting my own horn, my work environment is absolutely amazing. And I cherish my workplace because it is nice. So the environment in itself is already positive. Maybe it's because I work alone, you know, I work in the wee hours. So there's no really, there's no real commotion at work. Maybe it would be different if I was working in 8 to 5 and I was amongst a lot of people and so forth, because I'm also socially awkward, right? So maybe that would be it, but thereby positive work environment, a star to Eagle FM. And then also setting realistic goals. Setting realistic goals for me, for example, would be to create a good conversation that is worthy of me being energized in it, and also me having real interest in the conversation. Because the minute you don't set realistic goals, you tell yourself that, you know what, today I'm going to be talking about astrology. And you know for a fact, right, that astrology is a conversation that needs a lot of research, like a lot of research. You need a lot of scholars' opinions in order for you to make people understand, understand astrology. And also it is more visual, so you would have to go on Facebook Live, right, on our Eagle FM page. Now, if I have only 2 hours or I only have 3 hours to prepare for my show, wouldn't this be an unrealistic goal? Would it not be? Because that means I'm going to flake. I am going to drown in my conversation that I pick myself. Shashino, I need all the relevant information about the topic that I am focusing on in order for me to achieve it, right? So the realistic goal is talking about something that I am familiar with and understanding, and a topic that I am fully understanding of, and also something that I find lighthearted. It's something that is not too heavy, something that is not too facts, you know, oriented. That is a realistic goal for me. So now a realistic goal for you that is maybe a shop attendant, right? A realistic goal for yourself would be that, okay, when I get to work today, I know I have a lot of boxes to unload, but at least today, before the end of the day, I must unpack at least 10 boxes, and then I must pack at least 5 aisles, right? And this is now something that is realistic to you and something that you can achieve. Initially, you want to pack away all 6,000 boxes, but you know that this is almost impossible or impossible. So you don't set the goal of today, I'm going to finish all the boxes, all 6,000 of them. Because the minute you get to box number 10 and you are exhausted and the day is over, it might psychologically affect you, emotionally affect you. I didn't finish my tasks. I didn't do everything that I wanted to do. So set realistic goals for yourselves. And then also focus on finding meaning in your tasks. So finding meaning is understanding why you do it. Why you do it, why you are here, and find the meaning in it. So for me, the meaning of or why I do it is because of the conversations that we have here, and the aim and objective of our conversations, and the aim and objective of our show, and also what Eagle FM is as an entity represents. That is how I find meaning in coming to work every day. I understand exactly what Eagle FM is all about, and that gives me purpose and it gives me meaning, because I know most, I'm not just coming to play. I'm coming to have conversations with multiple people. So I must be within myself, and it must mean something to me. It must be conversations that can spark laughter, conversations that can spark sadness, conversations that can spark a nonchalant Friday that we are just chilling and just having fun. It must have meaning. And that is why my task is to have conversations that are stimulating both for you and for myself. And I'm prepping myself, guys. I'm prepping myself. So Number one, find meaning and purpose. Connect your work to a large purpose. That's
good evening.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, it's me. Kambarota is me. Small house.
Ah, yeah, I
don't know. Oh,
Kundi Gojo.
Hey.
No.
Hey. Nada go uja na morningo.
Ah, ndi mengo.
Mhm.
Ndi ya go kule na go tsika yenu kujia.
Why?
Shonda kindi kire ku mega ye.
Yeah.
Mo venduka muno to mandengu.
Mhm. Ho mo zero nengo ho mo ningini no.
Waje ho kujia mo ndi.
Nengo ho pambada. Mhm.
Yeah, it's not about to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so far, when I come to Bamba, and the time we have out to the Bamba,
mm-hmm.
They have no more colony.
Yeah, but he had out to Israel, a stable food on its own, guys. Oh, aye. What type of heavy meal do you want to eat?
I know. No.
That we know.
Yeah, or things that we really want to talk about. I'm one of the young unemployed people.
Mm-hmm.
Am I young and unemployed?
Well,
yeah, I'm.
You're not unemployed and you're not young.
What do you mean?
You're not unemployed and you're not young. Well, Kapiri Gokure. Then it's another, you're not even 40 yet. Yeah, so you're 39, say. Mm-hmm.
One thing is, today we are just talking about general issues.
Okay. We are talking about motivation to go to work.
Oh. No, because it's wrong now. When I'm dealing with you,
mm-hmm.
it's because you see the background of where you
No problem, huh? It's Friday.
And usually, it was a break over.
Yeah.
It could have been the same. No. You know what I do?
What's that? Na Papa Francois, ne?
Cinematography.
na Papa Francois. Hey.
Way older than me.
He's a lecturer, Moss. But how do you, Tatitonata, how do you motivate yourself to work every day?
Or to live.
To work. To survive. But how do you motivate yourself? What can you advise us? How do you motivate yourself? Every day, kuchai, I'm going to do this. Minga itonata.
I'm competing with another of my children.
Okay.
But I assisted so much.
Mm.
Then he left me like a useless somebody.
Was she supposed to stay just because you assisted her?
It looks like she's the best now.
Mm-hmm.
In as much as we are not together.
Yeah.
But she can't do that to you. So I need to prove that. Yeah. But yeah. I'm very disappointed. Especially when it comes to when we're talking about mental health issues.
When were you talking? Okay.
Did we talk about that before we, like that other time? I mean, that thing. Yeah. On that,
okay.
Oh, man. Guy. If you could listen. Like right now. Can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got the power of government. It's on the old car. You know, that's the room for them to be stuck. For any quality, it's so, and you know, there is something I want to have a question on the city.
Yeah. They have all the time to perfect their Mac game.
Okay. Since that time, when we were talking with that girl, I can attack people to the car, you are calling you white.
Ow.
Who's that girl? The one that you said your daughter?
Which one?
No, that one is wrong. They are people to the car, you are
calling you. People? Dina. Dino kwa graduate.
That one is a poverty consultant. If you can hear me, send you a call me.
Consultant.
I am a poverty consultant. Ke khoresha rashashi. Wamona kutanga ininga ndonga shira matiara yote.
Yeah. Asana na yonye. Kashimwe kushuwa mmati, Kamu wafunzo.
Kwa vijo sani, shashi.
Ngo sani? Sano mkuruntu. Mkuruntu.
Nga ikisha anzu kwa toti akisha anzu.
Okay, you know how to check.
Yeah,
we have 2 minutes left, Tete Tonata.
Man, otanju ki.
Iya.
Ngero okara no ndu. If you are with someone, and then that person does not even mind how you are going home tomorrow, then you are complicated.
You're in trouble.
For me, it's all whether you are my girlfriend, especially when you are my girlfriend, you are going back to your place. I should leave $100 for you.
Okay.
If I'm not prepared for you, I should tell you in advance. Or I should just give you my keys and then tell you, let's come to my room. Or I'll come later. Hey, Apu.
Apu.
Yeah, what else can I do? During the season, I think, just not for the fact. I'm saying, just to make people happy, I'm just telling you, Kuchara, I'll leave $200, and then you go, take a hand, freshen up, I mean, do what you have to do. I'm telling you, Matriarch, can I add something?
Yeah, you can add.
Between 2009 and 2014, as I told you before, around 400 girls there.
400 girls.
My friend, poverty put you in somebody's bed.
My dear.
yeah, when I, especially when you're at university, you're coming from the village.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, when you have that habit of taking advantage of underprivileged and stuff.
Mm.
Not that you are taking advantage, of course. What?
But it's taking advantage, man. Because you can't tell yourself that you are just simply attracted to people that need you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, like, you can tell yourself whatever you want to tell yourself to make you sleep at night. Marankenga unara antunkehe thimbo antakae
nasha. Kaishikae nasha, oe nasha mwe. Most of them are attracted to her talking shit.
Yeah, then they are attracted to your halves, right?
Nenge. Nenge. O kaima akiritu. O ya kuchokondo manengo shika. Ganenda chokonde kubu.
Izemo kwatu wangini ne kana kai man. Picha wu.
The devil is the liar.
Dodge the bullet. Kucha woo, dodge the bullet, my God. You know, taking an HIV test, ne? It's like. It's the panic you feel when you go to the airport. Do you also feel like that? Does it another like you should double check your things? Maybe somebody put drugs in your things.
Oh, at the airport,
Eh.
I've never felt unsafe.
Mm.
One more now.
Mm-hmm.
My luggage is like ngai andi kumbata.
Yeah.
Anything more than my backpack.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing checking back.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like that. What I can guy is and deep to us in your place.
Yeah.
Because I'm not looking very good. The second one, I could look at the material.
Mm.
Oh, considering the fact that you are friends, it's out of respect that I will not touch somebody that was here.
With you? Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's what I'm doing that. Number two,
yeah.
Because it's very distasteful.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Mara, maybe at a compromise level, at the later age, when I'm getting old, maybe I need an assistant. That's when I will consider to say no. I can settle with her because of her intellectual capacity and competency.
Mm.
But right now, okay, well, I'm there. Nandikara Ronkurgala Asanganyo Kutonata. Oh, no.
Yetan Sanganyo no Naoyakwen.
Ngayandi?
Tell me your body count, Tuta.
What the number in that is?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't touched.
Now only, but prior to that, you were touching just others. How?
Since COVID.
Yeah?
Since COVID. Yeah.
Since COVID. Ah, yeah, but you have new interests, Moss.
It's
true. You have new interests. Your interests are just not on a woman. Your interests are on rebuilding your life and rebranding yourself. So if you are preoccupied with that, or shit, yeah, there's just no time for paras.
No.
Mango bila tainu aku jeng.
Eh, Marandi, would you count things 2019 back?
2019 is not a long time ago. It's only 6 years.
Only?
Yeah. 4 more years and then you are a decade.
It seems like you want to kill me.
Ongwe mwene tui witulamo shiri shiri. Ongwe mwene ala waimu ala ngwe mwene ala shiri shiri.
You are talking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to support you.
I to a logic this side, iporoporo this side, matriarch iporoporo. We support here this side. We complicate.
Because
uncle is cool.
Self-control.
Ooh.
But when I'm drunk,
yeah. Everybody must know that the Tonata is here.
He was here.
He was here. Yeah, well, thank you, Tati. Me, I'm special.
Our time to see?
Yeah. Okay, bye.
I love you.
And I love you. Ciao.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So basically we are talking on how to stay motivated or be motivated for going to work. Now, this is basically how to successfully, without confidence, motivation or healing, be a person that is doing well in life. Because I think that we look for motivation. We're like, oh, I need something to motivate me out there. I need something to do this for me. I need something to do that for me. I need. And this is how I'm going to be happy. And this is how I'm going to achieve. And this is how I'm going to do this. But now this auntie over here, the next TED talk that we're going to be having, she is literally telling us, right? Kucha. You don't need to be motivated. Just do it. You don't need to be what? Just do it. You don't need to want to go to work on a Friday evening when everybody else is having a party at your house, Elizabeth. You don't need to want to, but you gotta do it. You know why? Because.
Agency. You do protection, which means you protect the president, former presidents, foreign heads of state, and you also work criminal investigations. Serious crimes across the board. And I did interviews and interrogations. After I left the U.S. Secret Service, I had a more public persona. I wrote my book, Becoming Bulletproof, and then I began working on air. Today I work for NBC News and I cover crime and national security. What was interesting is people began writing into me. And they started writing into me with questions, wanting guidance. Evie, I want to ask my boss for a raise, but I don't know how to do it, I'm afraid. Evie, I'd like to change career paths, but I don't know how to do it, I'm afraid. And the questions varied. They were all over the place. And I began doing mentor sessions. I thought, you know, I really can't answer a person's question in a text or in a note or even in an email. So I started doing a few mentor sessions, guiding people. Then the few became a few dozen. Then the few dozen became a few hundred. And over the years, I did hundreds of mentor sessions with people. And I found a pattern. I found a pattern that they were all at the core struggling with common issues. That there were these inhibitors, these patterns in their way of thinking and behavior that caused them to be stuck, that caused them not to know how to move forward. And I want to share these with you today. First inhibitor, you're not that special. Here's the thing. We may like to think of ourselves as special. Okay, so if I'm special, then that means you're not special. Well, or if you're all special, then nobody is special. The other thing is, when you think of yourself as being special, it kind of means that you're separate from everyone else. You are unique. You know, it's interesting. I'm a criminal justice professor, and obviously my background is criminology. We found that people who commit crime, chronic crime, those people that commit crime over and over and over again, they think they're special because the laws and the rules don't apply to them. The laws and the rules are for everybody else. I'm special. What else is really interesting is that those who think of themselves as special become extremely self-focused. I am so focused on myself and me that I make my problems special, my pain is special, and my suffering is special. Nobody knows how I feel because I am so special that I hurt so differently. And when you feel like that, there are higher rates of depression and you have higher rates of anxiety because I am so unique. But what I found is when you think that you are that special, you feel alone in the world. You can't get through it. Nobody understands you. You're not that special. And do you know what that means? You're not alone in the world. When I was a special agent, I was exposed to the events of September 11th, 2001. I worked out of the United States field office in New York City, and I went to work that day at the World Trade Center. So I was there from when the first plane hit to the second, to the collapse of the first tower and the second tower. Now, what was interesting, there was a moment when that was all happening, that exposure to see all those people suffer and all those people that I couldn't help or save. And what got me through that really tragic event is I understood I wasn't that special in my pain, that other people had been exposed to what I had been exposed to, and that if they could get through it, I could get through it. I knew that I wasn't alone in the world. Now, this is the number one thing I get asked about when people come to me. Evie, I need confidence. I'm not confident. How do you manifest confidence? I'm going to tell you something. Confidence is overrated. Overrated. Here's the secret. You don't need it. You don't need it. Think of it this way. I want to do something. Typically, people want confidence so that they can do something. So here's the thing I want to do. Here is me. I want to go from here to here. Ideally, I would go this way. Here's my achievement. Boom, I'm done. But do you know what we do? We say, ah, wait, I need confidence to do this. So instead of going this way, I'm going to break my path and I'm going to go on this wild journey to find confidence. Where's this confidence? Confidence, I need you. Where are you? Where are you? And then once I get it, then I can come back. You have done this such a windy road and gone all over the place that you either forget to go back, you get distracted, or you lose faith. And we never achieve what we want to achieve. And with that, one other thing you don't need is motivation. Motivation equals mediocrity. Often people think, I need to be motivated to do something. I need motivation to go work out. I need motivation to study so I can go to school. I need motivation to do these things. I will tell you something. If you wait to be motivated in life to do something, you will do the bare minimum. When I went through U.S. Secret Service Training Academy, we would wake up at 3 a.m. We would go out on these runs for miles and miles. And you know what they did to really mess with us? They wouldn't even tell us how long we would be running for. So it could psychologically mess with our heads. You would go on these painful runs, your legs burning, your lungs on fire. You would do it anyway. I had zero motivation to wake up every morning, to go to training, to get bruised up, to get beat up, to be threatened every day that I would fail and get kicked out. No motivation. I did it anyway. Do you want to know something else? That when you do things, that's when confidence and motivation come in. But if you set yourself up to seek these things, to seek motivation, and let me ask you a question. Every time you look for motivation, where is it? Motivation, where are you? Once it comes, then I can do this. And how often does it come? Sometimes it doesn't come at all. But if you're lucky to get it, what does it do? Hang out maybe a couple hours, a couple of days, couple of weeks, then what do you do? You never finish what you start because you need motivation. Another common inhibitor and a trait that I would see in people is the mindset of me being a victim or me feeling like prey. When we think of ourselves as being attacked, as being victimized by others, and I'm not saying that those things don't happen, but when we develop that mindset, we become that. There's a study done in New York City. What they did is they put up some cameras in New York and they started videotaping New Yorkers walking, just walking down the street. So they took this footage, then they gave it to people in prison, to convicted felons. And they said to them, I want you to tell me who you would pick for your prey. Who amongst these people would you target? Would you know that they all picked the same people? They all picked the same people to prey upon. Basically, they looked at the way they walked. Who did they pick? Well, the first group they picked were people that walked very timidly. They walked and they kind of had small steps and they made themselves small and, you know, maybe a little bit kind of to themselves. They put off this vibe. I'm very timid. I'm not sure of myself. Boom. Easy prey. Then they picked people who had really long strides, kind of sloppy walks, walking. I'm not really aware of my body. I'm doing whatever I want with it. They targeted those people because they had this lack of awareness. Do you know who they did not pick? They didn't pick people who walked deliberately with conviction. Their steps weren't small. Their steps weren't big. But they exuded this energy out to the world. I am not your prey. We become what we think of ourselves. And it manifests through our mind, into our body, and that's what we show the world. You are nobody's prey. Remember that. And with that, something important to remember is fear. Now, fear is a good thing. It can help you. It's what helps you pay attention to cross the street. It's what keeps you aware. It's what tells you, you know, I need to watch out for this person. Fear is an emotion. So like any emotion, fear is something that comes and it goes. It's like anger. You're angry and then it passes. Sadness. I'm sad and then it passes. Happiness, all emotions. But what we have done is we have taken the notion of fear and we made it our identity. So one of the things I would hear from my mentees, Evie, I'm afraid. I'm just a person who's, you know, I'm a fearful person. I'm not a person who's brave or, you know, I'm not that person who can go out and do things. And what they did unintentionally is they labeled themselves as being fearful. Labels are for clothing. They are not for people. Don't label yourself. When you feel fear, it's supposed to come, pass through you, and be released. Fear is not your identity. Don't let it make a home in your head. Finally, you don't need to heal to be resilient. When you tie in fear, often people wonder, well, I've been through something really hard. How do I become resilient? I have to, I guess, heal. And then once I heal, I make the pain go away. I make whatever I've been through go away. I can move forward. I'll be all right. I'll be resilient. You can heal from whatever you've been through. But healing is one thing, and being resilient is something else. Being resilient means I go through something traumatic, hard, tragic, whatever that is. I go through it, but then I am able to recover from it. And when I say recover, I mean I go back to who I was pre-stressor. I go back to, can I function day to day as I used to function before? It is not I'm going to make it go away. It is not I'm going to forget about it. It is also not I want to be the old Evie, the old person, the person who I was before I went through this. That's not resilience. And you really want to master resilience? The more difficult things you get to do in life, the more resilient you become, because now you measure your bounce back rate. I went through something hard, I recovered. Now when I go through something hard again, I recover again and then again. And do you know what happens? You get faster and faster and faster. That is resilience. How quickly I can recover, and you know what? I can move on and live. When I put these inhibitors together, I also organically realized that these were things that I became aware of throughout my life. So they're not exclusive to just my mentees. They're really tied in. And when I think of inhibitors, it was these are things that keep us from moving forward, from achieving our goals. And I was a special agent with U.S. Secret Service, and that job definitely was a life or death job. Every day, you didn't know whether or not you would come home. But there were two key moments in my life where I really thought I was going to die. The first time I thought I was going to die was on 9/11. And my specific moment was when Tower 1 was collapsing, the first tower. And I happened to be in an area where we were trying to triage and help people, the wounded people, and we were putting them in paramedics. We didn't know the tower was going to come down. But I remember in that moment, as I started to hear it, I found shelter. I was outside, so shelter was pretty much a corner on the sidewalk. I made myself small, and my hope was whatever falls might miss me. And as the tower started to collapse around me, I had a moment, and I was like, wow, I'm going to die. And I was actually sure. I'm like, I'm really going to die. And I had this thought and this sadness, and I thought to myself, there's so much I didn't do. There's so many things I didn't do. I didn't live. And, you know, I prayed in that moment. I said, you know, if I make it through this, I'm going to live my life. So that way the next time death comes for me, I'm going to be okay to go. And so I did live. And then after that, I made sure to live. Fast forward about 20 years later, I had another near-death experience. But the second one happened when I had my daughter. I was giving birth to my daughter, and when I had her, I lost a lot of blood. And the doctors at that point were trying to help me at that point. When I started losing a lot of blood, my lungs began to fill with a lot of water. And so because of that, I couldn't breathe. I was having a hard time breathing. I remember even my husband, I could hear him in my ear because he was in the room. He's like, breathe, breathe, fix your breathing, breathe. And I remember thinking, what does he mean breathe? I am breathing. I started losing the oxygen in my body, so they were worried about the oxygenation in my brain. And then my kidneys began to shut down. It felt like it was my house, all the lights were on in my house, and it felt like somebody was going through the house and just going room to room and turning off every switch. And I thought to myself, I think I'm dying. But in that moment, I remembered the first time, and I thought, but this time I'm okay to go. I have done everything I wanted to do. And if I didn't get to do it, I know I tried. I didn't let these inhibitors keep me from living my life. I'm okay to go. And I really was. We have to really think about how we live, because I can tell you when it is your time to go, you're not going to think about your cars, you're not going to think about your money, you're not going to think about your jobs, you're going to think, did I live? Am I quite okay to go? And you want to make sure that you understand that you are not that special, and because of that, you're not alone in the world. There are people there to help you get through the hard times. You are not suffering alone. And with that, you will remember that you don't need confidence to do anything. Confidence and motivation, they will rob you of your success. They will rob you of time, because you will chase these elusive things that, quite frankly, you don't need. I had no confidence in anything I did. I did it anyway. And that you are nobody's prey. Think about how you show up in the world, how you walk into a room, how you speak to people, how you present yourself. What message are you sending to the world? And that even though you are afraid and that you will fear from time to time, you will have that. It is not who you are. And that with all these hardships, you will build your resilience and you will be able to withstand more and more and more, so that when your time comes, you will look back and say, I'm okay to go because I lived. Thank you. Athens, Greece. That's a better start.
Ladies and gentlemen, you don't need motivation. You don't need anything. You just need to know that what you are doing is indeed the correct thing to do, and then just do it. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't need motivation, guys. Like, if we are being told by somebody that used to work in such a deep job like that, ow, guys. We don't need a motivation. We just need to do it, regardless of how we feel about it, regardless of where we are at in our lives. And that's how we roll. So, ladies and gentlemen, today we initially started the conversation of, hey, motivation for wanting to go to work. But then let's maybe hear from another professional what the psychology of self-motivation is, because we live in times where we, unfortunately, we need to motivate ourselves, right? And it's nice to know that we don't need motivation, but what is the psychology behind us understanding that, okay, we need motivation, we don't need motivation? What do our minds actually think first before we dive into other things?
Thank you. Thank you. Beyond boundaries. What a theme, huh? Beyond. Now, when I think of boundaries, I think of rules, regulations, and restrictions. And I think of the parents and the teachers and the supervisors who hold us accountable with regard to those boundaries. Now, that's not a bad thing. I know if you're like me, I need supervisors. I need someone holding me accountable to do the right thing. But beyond boundaries is something different. I think of those leaders, those teachers, those supervisors, those parents who inspire us to go beyond the call of duty, to do more than we have to do it not because they tell us, but because we want to. I would like to share with you what the research says about how to make that happen. And not just for other people, but for yourself. Here's the deal. How can we inspire people and ourselves to be self-motivated? There's another word. It's called empowerment. You've heard that word, right? Now, the management definition of empowerment is get her done. Just get her done with fewer resources and less time. I empower you. Make it happen. I'm talking about feeling empowered. That's different. Feeling empowered is when you're self-motivated. Now, if you want to know if you feel empowered, or if your child, your student, your worker feels empowered, ask them three questions. And if they say yes to these three questions, they will feel empowered. And by the way, this is not based on common sense, it's based on research. But you've all been there, so it'll feel like common sense. Question number one, can you do it? Albert Bandura calls it self-efficacy. Do you believe you can do it? Do you have the time, the knowledge, and the training to do what we're asking you to do? If you answer yes, good. Second question, will it work? Do you believe that we're asking you to do the process will work? Albert Bandura calls that response efficacy, believing that the behavior will lead to the ultimate outcome. By the way, that takes education, right? We have to show them the data. We might show them some theory. We teach them why this might work. I just used the word education. Earlier, I used the word training. Is there a difference? In elementary school, we call it education. Middle school, education. High school, education. College, higher education. Then you go to industry. What do you call it? Training. You have your training department. There must be a difference. Well, you know the difference. Do you want your kids to have sex education or sex training? And your kids might answer the question differently. Because you know that training means you do the behavior and you get feedback. That's powerful. Powerful. Have you ever heard this word, online training? It's an oxymoron, isn't it? I mean, training is watch the behavior. Online training, it's like plastic silverware, jumbo shrimp, legal brief, country music. I mean, it doesn't work. Okay, so if you answer yes, do it will work. Third question, is it worth it? So we've had a training question. We've had an educational question. This is the motivational question. Do you believe the consequences? This is about consequences. B.F. Skinner taught us this, selection by consequences. Dale Carnegie quoted B.F. Skinner and said, from the day you were born, everything you did was because you wanted something for doing it. Consequences. Is it worth it? So you have to convince people that it's worth it. Now, by the way, if you answer yes to those three questions, you feel competent. Am I right? You feel competent at doing worthwhile work. You've all been there. When you feel competent at doing worthwhile work, you're more likely to be self-motivated. You've been there. No one has to be looking over you. You feel now here's the challenge, leaders, teachers. How do you inspire people to feel competent? Well, you give them feedback. You give them recognition. You show them they are competent. Okay, I got one more. Another C word, choice. Your common sense will tell you. When you believe you have a sense of autonomy, a sense of choice in what you're doing, you feel more self-motivated. B.F. Skinner taught us that too. In his book, Beyond Freedom and Dignity, way back in 1971, reading that book changed my life because I realized that I am controlled by consequences. But sometimes I don't feel controlled. When I'm working for a pleasant consequence, it feels good. It feels like I'm working to get something. When I'm working to avoid an aversive consequence, I feel controlled. That's called negative reinforcement. So here's a challenge, leaders. How do we get people to become success seekers rather than failure avoiders? First day of introductory psychology class, I teach two classes of 600 students. Maybe some of you have been in that class. And remember, the first day I say, how many are here to avoid failure? And 80% raise your hand. And I say, well, thanks for coming. I know you're motivated, but you're not happy campers. You probably told your friends, I got to go to class. It's a requirement. Not I get to go to class. It's an opportunity. You probably woke up to an alarm clock, not an opportunity clock. And it's all in how you see it. Really, it's all in how you see it. It's your paradigm. It's how you communicate to others and how you communicate to yourself. So Ellen Langer said in her book, Mindfulness, she said, and psychologists know, when you perceive choice, you perceive motivation. You're more motivated. So the deal is, for yourself, sit back and reflect. Be mindful of the choices you have. And talk about being a success seeker rather than a failure avoider. It's all how you talk, how you communicate to yourself and to others. I've got a fourth C word, community. Powerful word. Psychologists know that social support is critical. People who perceive a sense of relatedness, a sense of connection with other people, they feel motivated and they're happier. I want to recite a poem. It's called The Cookie Thief by Valerie Cox. And as I recite this poem, there's only two characters, a man and a lady. Put yourself in the situation. Be mindful. Think about the situation and what you would do. Okay, here we go. A woman was waiting in an airport one night with several hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in an airport shop, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book and happened to see that the man beside her, as bold as could be, took a cookie or two from the bag between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. She read, munched cookies, and watched the clock as a gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking if I wasn't so nice, I'd blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one was left, she wondered what he'd do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and he broke it in half. He offered her half. As he ate the other, she snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother, this guy has some nerve, and he's also rude. He didn't even show any gratitude. She'd never known when she'd been so galled. And she sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed for the gate, refusing to look back at the thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat. Then she sought her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her baggage, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. If might her hear, she moaned in despair. Then the others were his, and he tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. So where were you where were you? Whose side were you on? Were you thinking independent or interdependent? I don't blame you if you think independent. You know, that's how we're raised. Nice guys finish last. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. Got to blow your own horn. You know, independent. We come in this life of ours dependent to others, and then we can't wait to become teenagers, you know? We're too old to do what kids do, too young to do what adults do, so then we'll do what nobody else would do to assert our independence. And some of us get stuck there. We're stuck. I'll do it myself. I don't need you. Not good. We need each other. We have to have each other's back. We need a sense of community. This independence culture that we got to move to interdependent. Okay, four C words that can fuel self-motivation and I think can fuel actively caring for people. Let me tell you a story to put it all together. It happened over 60 years ago. I remember it like yesterday. My parents asked me, hey, Scott, how'd you like to get drum lessons? How'd you like to play the drums? Oh, man, would I ever. I'm thinking of Buddy Rich and Gene Krupa. Most of you guys don't know those names, but they were the drummers. In those days, a drum was in the front of the band. They had white pearl drum sets, and I saw myself. That was my vision. I had a vision. Consequences, that was my vision. And I said, yeah, I want to take drum lessons. So the teacher would bring his drum and sit next to mine. I didn't have a nice drum like this. My parents bought me a beat-up old drum at an auction. And they said to me, if you get better, if your teacher tells us you get, they're holding me accountable. Teacher says you're getting better. We'll get you a better snare drum and then a bass drum and then some cymbals. And that was my vision and that kept me going. Consequences. So the teacher would come in and he would show me stuff. You know, this is how left hand, this is how Buddy Rich plays with his left hand and his right hand. And they would just do things like a flam. Can you hear that in the back? You okay? And this is a rim shot. He would show me stuff. I was just 10 years old, remember? And when he showed me stuff, I thought, wow. He showed me this little simple drum beat. Watch me, Scott. Watch this. And I practiced it, and I did it. I'm feeling competent. He showed me a paradiddle. Listen, paradiddle, paradiddle. And he said, you go home, when you practice next week, I want to see your paradiddling. I said, watch this. And I'd say, watch this. He said, that's a double paradiddle. Hey, we didn't get there yet. I'm reading ahead. Because I'm self-motivated. I feel competent. I'm walking through Muhlenberg High School, Allentown, Pennsylvania, and I see the music teacher, and he says, I hear you're learning to play the drums. I said, yeah, and I'm getting good. He said, you can march in the band. You can be the snare drummer. Whoa, that felt good. Another vision. Then the teacher comes into my... These are private lessons, by the way. $2. That was a long time ago. She said, Scott, ready to do a drum roll? I said, of course, I'm ready for a drum roll. He says, watch, Scott. Here you go. Watch this. Would you do that again? Scott, this is easy. Watch me. Now you practice that. And next week, I want to see a drum roll. He comes back the next week. He says, how's your drum? I can do a paradiddle. That's regression. I want to see a drum roll. Week after week, now we're talking about distress. Now we're talking about apathy. Now we're talking about learned helplessness. That's what psychologists call it. I remember walking through that elementary school and seeing a music teacher, and he said, so, Scott, how you doing? How are the drums? Not so good. I can't do a drum roll. You know, like adults always say, never say can't. You can be anything you want to be, Scott. No, I can't do a drum roll. I've tried and I've kind of given up. And he said, Scott, when you ever get overwhelmed, break it down. Break it down. Can you do a paradiddle? Yeah. Okay, what's the second beat? Two beats. Yeah, well, that's a drum roll, Geller. It's two beats. You go home and you practice and you say, Dada Mama. Remember, I was just 10. You go, Dada Mama, Dada Mama, Dada Mama, Dada. It's a drum roll. That teacher came back the next week. Okay, Scott, I guess you can't do a drum roll. I said, watch this. She said, whoa! How'd you learn to do that? And I showed my teacher. I taught my teacher, 10 years old. He said, I'd forgotten that it's, I got into the habit of just doing this. I forgot that it's too big. You taught me how to teach the drum roll, Scott. There's a lesson there. We can always learn from each other. We need to have the humility to accept feedback and the courage to speak up. And we need to help each other feel self-motivated. How? Given the perception of competence. Teach them about consequences drive us, you know? Let them perceive choice and let them know it's community. We're all in this together and we need each other. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hi. It is the psychology behind it, my dear, the psychology behind it, because whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about being motivated to go to work, being motivated to do anything and how we go about it. So ladies and gentlemen, it's a very difficult thing to be motivated, but unfortunately, we don't have to be motivated, right? We just have to do what we have to do. We have to do what we have to do because it is the correct thing to do. Do you know why it's the correct things to do? Because, guys, because vele, eh? Life continues, friend. Life continues regardless of what you are saying, what you are thinking, and life continues. So if you are saying that, oh, I just don't want to go to work today, my dear, you get up and you go. And not because it's the best thing, not because you're so motivated and you're such a great person. Ha 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 ha. Great people, they don't not want to go to work. Great people always want to go to work. So we can at least say that, okay, fine. We're gonna go. We're gonna do the things that we want to do because that we have to do. Not because we wanna do them, not because we are spectacular beings, but because we have to do it. And also, ladies and gentlemen, there are these people that need these people that need motivation to do their jobs, right? And these people that need motivation to come to work. And the question is, why do I as an employer have to motivate you to come to work? It is your work. Like, who motivates me? How? Stop.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here today. One of the million-dollar questions that organizations want to know is, how do I engage my workforce? How do we engage the employees that work for us? And so if we're going to think about how do we engage our workforce, we need to understand and get underneath the hood of what drives human behavior in the workplace. Why do people do what they do when they come to work? Wouldn't we all like to know that? Well, in our studies, we've had a central focus on motivation. We have found that motivation is key to success. So not only can we measure motivation, but we have found that there are four motivations that contribute to success. But we, in order to understand motivation, we have to understand that there are some myths around motivation. So let's dive in to the science behind what drives motivation. So one of the myths is motivation is just about energy. Motivation is the intensity that I bring to the job. Motivation is my ability to get up and come to work and just give 120%. So is that the whole story? Well, it's part of the story. The other side of the story is, yeah, it's about energy, it's about quantity, but it's also about quality. So let's think about the employee who is motivated very productively. They do a lot of activities at their work that causes them to bring positive outcomes in their day. So they, if they are a sales rep, they're generating leads, they're following up on those leads, they're closing deals, they're generating revenue for the company. Those are all positive motivations. However, some people also bring to the table negative motivations. And we all have a combination of each, both positive and negative. So those that are productive for us and those that are counterproductive. So let me illustrate the point. Mr. Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen is a great example. Is he motivated? Absolutely. Is he a great and talented actor? Yeah, no question about it. But does he come with counterproductive motivations as well? Absolutely. And so can't we think of somebody that we've worked with over the years that is like the Charlie Sheen or the Lindsay Lohans of the world? That, you know, Charlie Sheen, he's a great actor, but he's a drug addict. He's a womanizer. He throws tantrums on the set. Don't we have coworkers that we've worked with in the past that, man, we think, gosh, they've got such great potential, but look at that baggage they carry. They're draining me. They come with toxic behaviors and they just suck the life out of our teams. I know I can see on your faces, you guys are kind of recalling somebody. You've got a face in your mind. Yep, I've worked with that person. And so what we want to think about when it comes to motivation is there is a quantity aspect, but more importantly, there's a quality aspect. So the success in our life is determined by elevating or maximizing our productive motivations and minimizing our counterproductive motivations. And we need to be extremely careful about when we engineer teams, because we want to make sure we're putting people that are healthy together. Neuroscientists have proven over the last 5 years that we as human beings are hardwired to connect. We're hardwired to connect with others. And I know you introverts in the room are going, nope, not me. But yes, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you are hardwired to connect. The introverts just want smaller social circles of people that they know very well. The extroverts just, it's like a spray in a room. They walk into a room and the whole room is a bunch of friends they just haven't met yet. So we might have different approaches to it. But neuroscientists have said, not only are we hardwired to connect, our brains will not thrive at their full capacity unless we are a part of a healthy group. Let me say that again. Our brains will never be fully realized unless we are part of a healthy group. Pretty impactful for organizations. A lot of times we just kind of throw teams together and we're like, we just need able-bodied people, just go work on that project. But the reality is if we're not careful about how we engineer our teams, we can really set the project up for failure. We like to think that if we have three high performers and we put that C player on that team, don't we think that those high performers are really going to take that low performer and bring them up? I mean, that's what we would just intuitively think. But what do you think the research says about that? No. It drags the top performers down. So when we have the Charlie Sheens or the Lindsay Lohan type workers on our group, they're toxic. They create chaos around in their group. So we need to be very careful about how we engineer our teams. And the second myth is we often think that motivation is a one size fits all. So I just need to come in, I need to bring my team together, and I just need to inspire them. Right? I mean, don't we just want to like get them motivated? Let's inspire them. Well, the secret to motivation is that it's not a one-size-fits-all. People have different motivational styles. So if we look at the basics of motivation and we say, okay, what really is motivation? Motivation hasn't had a lot of clarity until the past couple years, and we've really dug into what is driving that human behavior. But when we look at what is motivation, it's pretty simple. Motivation is our drive to go seek pleasure and avoid pain. So as human beings in life, we are just hardwired to go seek pleasure. We want to go get that degree. We want to go get that job. We want to go get that awesome spouse. But we're also motivated to avoid pain. I don't want trouble coming into my life. I've got to problem solve it. I've got to get it out. I don't want anything impacting my success. So that's our ability to effectively avoid pain. So how successful we are in life is dependent on how many productive motivations we have and have built over time, and how effective we are at minimizing our counterproductive behaviors. And so when we look at the pleasure-pain axis, our research has shown that we can not only measure motivation, but we can also find, we have also identified the key factors, the key motivations that contribute to our success. And on the pleasure side, there are two. There are two motivations on the pleasure side: ambition and accountability. So if Mary over here, Mary on my team, is very driven in ambition, she's just the most ambitious person. I can put her on a project and I just tell her, here's what I need you to do, and she runs with it. She is excited. She sees the world in opportunities. So that's somebody who's highly driven, highly motivated on the pleasure side. Now I've got Bob. Bob over here is highly motivated on the pain side. He wants to avoid pain. He has this just innate ability to be intuitive and be watching and being a protector of the organization. And he's looking at what is everything that could go wrong. They're great at mitigating risk for our companies. And so they have this innate ability that I call the power of noticing. The power of noticing. They notice clues. They notice issues that, oh, whoa, 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 hey, wait just a minute. That could cause our company pain. That could bring trouble. That could jeopardize everything that we've built. So they are highly motivated to protect what they have. They don't care as much about, I don't have the need to bring in a lot of new opportunities, but they want to protect and preserve what they have. Now, we all have a combination of both, but we tend to have a dominant focus. And this is important, because if I want to try to motivate my employees, I have leaders across the country that say, gosh, I want to increase workplace engagement. 70% of employees across the nation are disengaged. How do I motivate my employees? Well, you're asking the wrong question. Your employees are already motivated. The question you should be asking is, how do I unleash it? How do I unleash their already existing motivation? So if I'm communicating with Mary, who's extremely motivated on the pleasure side, and she sees the world as all these wonderful opportunities, I'm going to talk to her about the benefits and all the positives that I see with this. If I'm talking to Bob, who's highly motivated to protect and to prevent problems and to mitigate risk, then if I go to him and approach him like I just did Mary and I say, Bob, let me tell you about the awesome reasons that we should bring this new project on. We're going to increase market share. We're going to bring in new clients. What's Bob going to think? I don't care. Now, if I don't understand Bob as a leader, if I walk away, what am I going to think? Bob's just not motivated. Bob's not motivated. I can't get him to buy into this. I don't know what the deal is. I see all these wonderful things, and I can't get Bob to buy in. Well, the problem is not Bob. The problem is me. I don't understand how Bob is motivated. And so I've got to understand how he's motivated, and then I know, oh, okay, Bob is motivated to avoid pain. He wants to mitigate risk. He doesn't care about new stuff. He just wants to avoid trouble coming. So how am I going to talk to him? How can I unleash that motivation? I'm going to go to Bob and I'm going to say, Bob, we want to bring on this new project, but I want to go through all of the things that could go wrong if we don't do it. Here's problem X, Y, and Z. If we don't implement this change, if we don't take this project on, X, Y, and Z could happen. We could lose market share. We could lose some of our clients. Now all of a sudden, it's kind of like that movie Inside Out where the people are talking in the brain. All of a sudden, boom, 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 you've got the bells going off in his brain because he hears threat. He hears pain. Now all of a sudden, whoa, what do you mean we could lose market share? What do you mean that my project could be in jeopardy? Now all of a sudden, we've tapped into his motivation and we've unleashed it. So why do we care? Why do we care as organizations? Well, we did a study with sales reps. We wanted to look at what are the key differences between the top performers and our low performers. So we assessed both the top performers and the low performers. And we were curious. We assessed them on 35 different traits. And we wanted to know, out of those 35 different traits, are there any consistencies that we see with the top performers versus the low performers? There were multiple key traits, but there was one that was just incredibly significant that pulled out ahead of the rest. And that was motivation. And it was the motivation factor on the pain side. So we often think sales reps, they're so good at ambition, they're driven by ambition. But on the pain side, we have awareness and we have agility. And these top sales reps, yes, they had high ambition, but on the pain side, they were just incredibly effective at resolving pain and about problem solving. It gives them that confident mindset of, you can throw any kind of problem at me and no problem, I'll solve it. So they know that even if they don't know the answers, they can go find it. So those top sales reps had extremely high scores in that agility factor. So this is really critical for organizations to know because it's not what we've been taught. So why do we need to care about motivation? Well, number one, as organizations, we need to be hiring for motivational fit. We need to hire for motivational fit. Just because somebody can do the job doesn't mean that they will do the job on a consistent basis. And a resume only shows us what they can do, not what they will do. So we need to be looking in, diving in deeper, and figuring out what is the job call for, and is this the right motivational fit? Researchers have studied how we as human beings select candidates for hire in an interview. And they wanted to look at, I wonder what parts of the brain are decisions about hiring made? Well, it was interesting. They found that we make decisions whether or not to hire somebody in the first 3 to 5 minutes of the interview. The first 3 to 5 minutes of the interview, we make a decision about whether or not we want to hire that person. Not only that, the decision is made in the emotional. So if we use this as a crude representation of the brain, the thumb represents the emotional centers of the brain. The decision is made in the emotional centers of the brain. And what is our brain asking in that first 3 to 5 minutes? Would I want to get in a car and drive cross country with this person? The answer is yes. All right, yeah, that's a good fit. So then we spend the rest of the interview trying to justify why we think that person's a good fit. So again, we're basing it on what we like. That's fine. Maybe does that work? Well, let's go to the research. What does the research say about if we like somebody in an interview, is that predictive of later performance? What do you guys think the correlation is between if I like somebody in an interview and if they will be a top performer later? Zero. Zero. That doesn't mean that you should hate the people that you hire, but we often hire because somebody, they communicate like us. They're like us. We like to hire our little mini-me's, but the reality is that really what the job requires? And when we did the study with the sales reps, I was curious. So I went back to the organizations and I said, hey, can you pull the records on the interview? I want to see the ratings you gave those candidates when you hired them. And I was just curious because I thought, I wonder if the ratings were any different between the top performers and the low performers. There was. It was incredibly consistent. Who do you think got the better ratings in their interviews? The low performers. We liked them more. And if you ask any of the top HR professionals in the country, they will say, did they? Yeah, absolutely. We never hire based on who we like. we've gotten burned by that so many times, so they've really picked up on it. So number one, we need to hire for motivational fit. We need to be testing for motivation, and we need to be digging in deeper on the interview to determine if they are the right motivational fit for the job. Second, we need to understand our employees. We need to understand how they're motivated, and we need to communicate with them in their motivational style. We also need to be bringing them in on projects that match that motivational style. I'm not going to put somebody who's very prevention-focused and mitigates risk on a project that's going out and researching opportunities and new projects to bring in. So we need to start understanding our employees and matching them to the projects. And third, we need to invest in our people. We often, as organizations, will invest in our equipment, our technology, and our processes. We will lean and Six Sigma our organization to death, but we don't apply those same principles of continuous improvement to our people. The high-performance cultures in the future are going to be those that invest in their people. Thank you, guys.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for having been part and parcel of our conversation this evening. I hope we learned a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is Saturday and we start our show at 1 o'clock and end at 4 p.m. And tomorrow we are going to talk about the little things that we can have along the way to keep us motivated because we have already established we don't need motivation. We must just do it, man. But if you feel like, please just give me motivation, eh? We're going to discuss that tomorrow. And for me, the matriarch, I bid you guys farewell. I love you forever and a day. You're important to me. Au revoir.